Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
Stan Miller Man bursting those pipes out with Take Me to the King. What a lovely song, taking us to 13 minutes past 5. I did make a promise to you earlier on, and I am delivering on that promise. Now, like I said to you, July goes by a whole lot of themes, but one that really stood out for me as well, and I'm going to also just share in the conversation as to why for me it really hit home, you know. So it's Disability Pride Month, and that's what we're observing. I'm not going to say celebrating, but we're observing it, because we are a society that, according to stats, has about 15% of people living with disabilities, not just in South Africa, but internationally as well. And on the line with me today, I'm joined by Akona Ashibi. Good afternoon, Akona, and welcome. Welcome to Radio Pulpit.
Hi, Loko.
I'm good, thank you. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you, Sanasam. I'm okay.
Firstly, thank you for agreeing to have this conversation with me, because this is your lived experience, Akona. And I can almost imagine, even for Asipe referring me to you, it wasn't just a thing of, oh, I know somebody in a wheelchair. You have to really be sensitive and considerate, because let's be honest, we don't know how you feel where you are. So we need to attach a bit of respect to it. So thank you for agreeing, Akona.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Now tell us firstly, who's Akona? Where are you from, Akona?
Okay, my name is Akona Hashibi, as you said. I'm from the Eastern Cape, but I'm currently in Cape Town.
Oh.
My work.
Okay, I love that. We're going to get into a whole lot of your work as well. Now, Akona, you know, like I said, this month is known to be International Disability Pride Month. And I can imagine when I'm speaking as a person who has, you know, who can walk, and you know, who's not in the same position as you, to then say pride, one might be thinking, isn't that a bit sensitive? But you know, we speak to you. Maybe tell us what that sounds like from your end when I say Disability Pride Month. Have you gotten to that point where you can say, hey, it's a normal thing, it's life, and so it needs to be observed?
Okay, yeah. To me, disability is like it's like my life. It's my life. It's something that I live with. I don't have to stress about that, about my disability, or I don't have a problem if anyone calls me with that name, like with a disability. It's something that I live with. It's my disability, and I'm proud to call myself as a disabled person.
Oh, all right. Now, tell us, Akona, how did you get to that position? Were you born, with a disability, or is there a life event that occurred that landed you in a wheelchair?
I wasn't born in a wheelchair. Okay. I was born walking till I was 23 years old, where I had a problem with the heart. Okay. They said there was a problem in aorta, if you know the aorta, that's a vein that transports blood from heart to the body.
Okay.
There was something that was blocking blood from moving. So they had to remove that. So I went for an operation to remove that. It was 2010, 29th of July. Then when I woke up from that operation, I was paralyzed.
Sure. So the operation, was that issue sorted, or was it still lingering, and now you found yourself paralyzed as well?
I can't say it was sorted, because after the operation, that was still a problem to me.
Oh, so more complication arose.
Yes. Disability and the thing is not sorted on the other side.
Sure, that must have been very hard for you, because, I mean, you put your life on the line to say, I'm willing to go under the knife for this issue to be sorted. Then you wake up and there's an added one.
Exactly, that was the thing that once I do this operation, once I've done with this, then I will be fine, not knowing that I was it was going to be another whole lot of things, just something else in my life.
Were you ever warned before the operation, Akona, that there was a possibility of this, or did it really just come as a surprise to you?
That came as a surprise to me, the paraplegia thing. It came as a surprise to me. I was told, I was given a form to sign and all that.
Of course.
But they didn't mention anything that you cannot be, you cannot walk after the operation. The only thing that they told me that it is possible that you cannot wake up from the operation, because this is a big operation, obviously. It has
of course.
Problems. So that was the only thing. And the paraplegia came as a surprise to me.
I can imagine. Because the only worst case scenario you had in mind was, hey, I might not wake up. And I think that's pretty much what most people are told when they are going to go under the knife. These are the chances. But we've done this operation before. You know, I can imagine. Now, let's talk about now you wake up from hospital and there's this new discovery. What's going through your mind in that moment?
Oh, waking up from the operation, I was still my mind was still everywhere. I remember when I woke up from that operation, I was still the operation was still open. It was not yet, it was not finished.
And okay.
I saw all that. It was, I can't even explain, but all I can say is that I was not myself. And I thought to myself that this will only last for a few days. I didn't know that it will be my life.
Yeah. And did the doctors at least clarify to you on what might be happening and any chances of walking again? Or did they immediately knew that something had gone wrong?
You know, if I can tell you, the doctors didn't know what happened. Till today, I'm not sure if they knew what happened, what really happened from that operation.
Sure.
Because I think after I wake up, they sent me from the ICU to the ward. Then there was nothing that was said. From that day, I was moved from ICU to the ward. Nothing. Till I called my social worker.
Yeah.
It's when they told me that, Ms. Ashidi, you have this problem, and we're not sure if you will be able to walk again.
Sure.
But it seems like you are paralyzed completely. That means if you are paralyzed completely, you will never walk again.
Sure. And was there any support thereafter that was provided to you to prepare you for the world that you were about to encounter?
Not from their side.
Sure.
Not from their side. Because I remember the day they told me that you won't be able to walk. It's like they wanted to get rid of me, because they told me that we have to send you back to the Eastern Cape. Remember, I'm paralyzed, as they said. I'm paralyzed. I'm still bleeding everywhere. I still need to be... there was a lot that needed to be done.
Yeah.
And they said to me, we will have to transfer you back to the Eastern Cape. I was from Eastern Cape that time. They transferred from East London to... Then they said, you need to go back home. And I like... How am I going to go back home? I don't have a wheelchair. You told me that I'm paralyzed.
Exactly.
But you're sending me back home without a wheelchair, without anything. They told me that you will be in a private hospital there, that side. And I was like, who's going to pay for the private
exactly.
hospital? Who's going to pay for the private hospital?
Sure, that must be... So now you're being sent back to East London. Let's try and fast-track this. You're going back to East London as confused as ever. There's a possibility that you're never going to walk again. What is going through your mind? What were you thinking? Were you even thinking about the outside world, how you were going to confront everyone now suddenly on a wheelchair? What was going through your mind? Is that a walk you were ready for? Or you just thought, hey, this is my situation right now?
It took me a very long time to accept the fact that I won't be able to walk. I think that time I was still telling myself that no, it's just something for a few months, then I will be fine.
Yeah.
Then when I got home, I was like, I will too. At least I will cope. I will manage with this.
Yeah.
But, it was not easy. It was not easy.
Mm.
Seeing people, community, and they will look at you like, why? What happened?
Yeah.
Sometimes they look like, they look at you like you are a joke.
Yeah.
Even sitting on a wheelchair, you are joking.
As if it's your fault or something.
Exactly. Why are you sitting on a wheelchair at your age? Why are you playing with that? How can you play?
Yeah.
Sitting on a wheelchair and at your age.
I can imagine, and they're probably also hopeful like you that, hey, this person was walking the other day. Chances are in the next couple of months, she's going to get up and walk. And you can imagine how insensitive people can be. They'll visit you after you've come back from hospital and say, don't worry, man, it's only a few months you're going to walk. And you're thinking, exactly, I know better.
And here we are 14 years later, I'm still in a wheelchair.
So tell me, Akona, were you actually working at that point in time, or were you looking for work? What was the story?
I was still at school at
that
time. And I was still at school, and the most painful part of it is that I wasn't accepted back to school.
I'm so glad you're mentioning that. And why was that? Was it because there were no ramps, or were you now suddenly categorized as disabled and didn't fit the category?
I think it was because I was categorized as a disabled person. Because the reason why I went to school, but few months later, I think 3 months later, I had a problem, a chest infection. When I was sent to hospital, they told me that I have this problem with chest infection and all that. When I came back from hospital, the res manager told me that, no, we cannot stay with you in that res because you need a charity. You need a charity for disability people. The situation, the environment, is not good for you. You need nurses, you need doctors and all that. I was like, why?
Just from a chest infection that anyone else could have had.
Exactly. That's what I said. Everyone can have a chest infection. It was not something that related to my disability after all.
Yeah. And so that was also one of the first signs of society rejecting you right there.
Yes, it was. Because I wanted to be school. I wanted to finish my course, but I wasn't given that opportunity.
So did you end up having the strength to go back and finish it?
No, I never.
Oh man,
After that, I was so depressed. After that, I was in a psychiatric ward for 8 months.
Depression crept
in. Yes, depression kicked in.
And imagine now you're going to a psychiatric hospital, and even there, not only are you depressed, but you feel you are different from the rest of the patients.
Exactly. That's what happened to me.
Oh, man. Man, I don't want to dig too much. But what is it, Akona, that you would love for us as society to understand about people living with disabilities? Because also, Akona, you know, there's this thing of, oh, she's in a wheelchair. We put you guys in all these categories, whereas we could honestly just say, this person is not disabled, but is living with a disability, honestly.
With a disability, yes.
Exactly.
Yes.
There's so much more that you can actually do, Akona, that I probably can't do if you think about it.
Okay. Yes. I can do like a lot of things. As I'm talking to you, I'm staying alone in my flat. I do everything. I do everything.
Wow.
The only thing that I would love in the community to understand about us, we are people, same as everyone. Just like the difference is that we are unable to walk.
Yeah,
that's all. Everything that they do, we can do. It's only the few things that we cannot do. Otherwise, we are same as them.
I love that. I love that. You know, it's so close to my heart, Akona, because, you know, when I saw this thing, I thought to myself, I think mostly people living with disabilities struggle to accept, not because of their situation, but because of what the outside world is going to say about their situation. Do you get what I'm saying? I was actually just thinking, some people don't, like, I'll talk about children, for instance. You know, I have a little, my niece, who has cerebral palsy. And as much as she might not be aware, of course, that's her situation, and her mind may not necessarily appreciate that. But I can imagine also me pointing it out, you know, especially Tina, you know, Amakhosa would say, hey, this person has this issue. And I can imagine that's when it starts eating you up. Yes, it does eat you. It probably ate you up that the other day I could walk and the next I couldn't. But it's the comments, I can imagine, that actually make you feel less of people than the rest of, you know. I can imagine. So thank you so much for sharing your story. And before I let you go, now you are a working class.
Yes.
Do you find that the workplaces as well are more receptive of people living with disabilities? Do you think our society is moving towards, you know, a more inclusive environment? Akona? Okay. I think I've lost her there. But thank you so much to Akona for sharing her story. Really moving. I think we could all just have a different outlook today to say they just are differently abled than I am. There are certain things that you probably also can't get done that a differently abled person can actually do. So let's be more mindful, not pitiful, but accommodating to everyone.
The words of the Lord are words of life. Your heart is on 657 AM.
Do you need prayer? WhatsApp your name and your prayer request to 082-657-2729 and our care center will gladly contact you to pray for you.
Tune in to Radio Pulpit on 657 AM for reliable Christian talk radio at its best. Find your daily dose of Christ-centered motivation and encouragement on Radio Pulpit 657. Download our app now. Tune in to radiopulpit.co.za or find us on DSTV Audio 882 and OpenView 607. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion for more than 40 years, brings a relevant moral alternative to 400,000 listeners in a variety of South African languages. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and download our podcasts today.
You and 657 AM and life. A winning team on the road to eternity.